This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Just another day of Democrat outrage over the fact that we don't want to give our money to corrupt foreign countries anymore. Imagine that. We actually want to use American money for, wait for it, America. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Great to be with you today. I appreciate it very, very much. And it's been an action-packed show. You know what? I'm really excited about this. Paul Thacker, long interview, long-form interview. I'm going to try doing more of these. I like it. Get into a lot of details with him. That's coming up soon, very, very soon. But I want to do a quick recap of the day. And this is the big story brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. So our buddy Greg Price put a little supercut together of crazy Democrats all screaming because they can't stand the idea that there are people that want to cut government spending and stop sending our money overseas to corrupt governments and to stop wasting our money for transgender operas in Ireland. Take a listen.
Get on your asses, and we are going to make sure you understand what democracy looks like. This ain't it. Every movement needs a scrappy little
I had no idea.
Elon Musk is seizing the power that belongs to the American people. We are here to fight back.
If you couldn't tell by that hideous shrill, that's America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren. Just in case you weren't sure by that insanely hideous shrill, okay?
Organizing, mobilizing, agitating. We will see you in the courts, in Congress, in the streets. Elon Musk is a Nazi nepo. God damn it, shut down the Senate.
That's that crazy woman from Jersey City. Shut down the city. Aren't all these people are so close to pulling a Howard Dean? You know what I mean? Like, am I right? Like, it's like any minute now they're just going to pull a Howard Dean. Although Howard Dean did it with love in his heart, you know what I mean? He wasn't trying to be like crazy but he managed to do so anyway. But any minute they're on the verge of it. You know what I mean? Any minute.
Well, you guys, you have already got the picture here. I was about to say, you know, I'm sure there's some disappointed people here. You know what? You know something?
Come on.
You know,
Wait for it.
If you had told us 1 year ago that we were going to come in third in Iowa, we would have given anything for that. And you know something?
Sounds reasonable, you know right?
Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, mm-hmm. we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. And we're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House.
I mean, this is it. They can't. They're all so close to pulling a Howard Dean because in the end, they all eventually come full circle to crazy. It just sometimes the ramp up could be a little different.
We are at war. The red man speak. We war. We don't. They don't call us Mama Bear for nothing. Right? They don't call us Mama Bear for nothing. We are going to show up. We are going to fight. And we are going to be with you every step of the way. Muchísimas gracias. Hasta la victoria.
This is not Elon Musk's country. This is not Trump's country. This is our country. We deserve to have decent jobs. We deserve to have the respect. We deserve to be treated in a way that all Americans should be treated. And so let me just tell you now.
I have access to our social numbers.
I'm just mixing in the yacht at this point.
Our medical benefits.
Oh my God, cats everywhere are shrieking. You know what I mean? They're running for cover and they're these poor cats. I really feel bad for them. I really do. There's no cat should be subjected to this. Come on. No cat should have to deal with that. That's not fair to the cats. Glass shattering everywhere. You know what I mean? These poor cats. I just, you know.
The White House! Yeah!
I'm just saying. Should we hear more? Oof, I don't know. You're driving. But it's kind of fun, right? It's kind of amusing. Oh, you want Count Grand Sangelo, Spartacus Booker and the Tears of Rage Band? Sure. Yeah, we got that. We got a little Cory Booker grandstanding for you over. He's so angry, as the White House put it, at the idea of making sure American tax dollars are no longer spent to further the national interests of places like Guatemala, for example. You know, when they're actually going to be spent on America.
This must be a coalition that grows and grows and grows. There can be no bystanders in this fight. It is time that we understand. The only thing necessary for wrong to triumph is for right to do nothing, for right to be silent. And so understand this. There are legislators walking through here, but these are the ways we're going to fight.
All right.
I do love this. I forgot how much I miss this. The overreaction grandstanding about these people. You know what I mean? Like, I miss this. I forgot. I did. I just forgot how good it was. I really did. I forgot just the hysteria, the pure hysteria of the left. I guess, I don't know. I mean, you know, time goes on and you miss these things after a little bit, don't you? You just, like, a little bit. Like, don't you? A little bit? I don't know. So fun. So cute. Right?
The information that we use when we are trying to get a motherfucking tax.
Okay. Not so much. I didn't miss that. Yeah, my bad. I didn't miss that. That was, I didn't miss that. Okay, moving on. So the legacy media has been heavily funded by USAID, as you know, USAID. And what can I say? Is it any surprise to all of us that these people would be getting money from an organization that is there to do propaganda? I mean, is anyone surprised by this? I'm not. Are you? You're not, right? Because we all know this stuff. We know that USAID is a corrupt agency. It's a front for the CIA. I talked about that with Paul Thacker. You hear the interview in just a minute. But, like, for example, all these different publications, mainstream publications that are now apparently in the tank with USAID, it's not good. You know what I mean? It's so much of them. It's not. Oh, did I miss Chuck Schumer? I did miss. Oh, well, listen, I mean, how can I do a montage without adding this guy?
am going to stand with you in this fight, and we will win.
We will win.
We will win. We will win. We will win. We will win. We will.
Come on, Chuck.
We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't rest. Thank you, everybody.
What a riveting, inspirational, I mean, truly riveting, inspirational.
Back to the White House!
I mean, I think I'm inspired by Chuck Schumer. I'm ready to not rest. I'm ready to win. How about you? You feel that way? You feel good? Huh? Are you feel good? But wait, you, I know what you're saying to yourself. You're saying, Rich, we need something more over the top, okay? We've heard Nazi, we've heard MF-er, glass is broken, cats are screaming. In fact, one of those members of Congress, his voice got so high, only Superman could hear it. It's like when Lex Luthor was able to contact Superman in the original movie with Christopher Reeve, and dogs were barking everywhere because it's just such a high-pitched voice. Please, Rich, give me something else, something to prove, because this is totally biased, that there are reasonable Democrats among us who are trying to use reasonable, logical points, okay? Like Congressman Jonathan Jackson. All right? Here we go.
That same spirit that Elon Musk has coming from South Africa and Peter Thiel coming from South Africa, we're not going to have apartheid in America anymore.
Okay, so not bad. That's crazy. I mean, bringing back apartheid apart. Yeah, that's okay. Maybe that's not, you know. Yeah, probably not so much. But hey. I mean, surely among all of these people, and don't call me surely somebody out there must be logical and reasonable and try to convince everybody by using a calm, rational tone of what we can achieve as Americans, right?
All right. In the building behind me, Elon Musk is seizing power from the American people.
She got a big boo. Listen. As far as crowd reaction goes, contrast that big boo with Chuck Schumer. Am I right? I mean, America's mother-in-law got that boo. That was a big boo compared to this.
We will win. We right? will win.
Pretty low energy.
We will win. We
pretty
will.
Low energy. Just saying.
We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't
actually, sounds
rest.
Like you're all resting. It sounds like you're all actually asleep is what it sounds to me, what it sounds like. But anyway, but I mean, in terms of a reaction right there, America's mother-in-law, right? I mean, that's a big boo
from the American people.
That is a big boo right there. So props to America. I'm just saying, in terms of just riling people up, am I right? On the rile up Richter scale, way more energy than the other guy. You know, that's all I'm saying. We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't. Dude, I think you're all actually asleep. It's not even not resting. You're all asleep.
And you're gonna take our money?
With you in this fight, and we will win.
We will win.
We will win. We will win. We will win.
Everybody.
We will.
Do you remember, what else this reminds me of? And we played this on the show years and years ago. Do you remember when Maxine Waters led the Impeach 45 chant? And it was the lowest energy chant I've ever heard in my life from Maxine Waters. It was the Impeach 45. Do we have that Impeach 45? Okay, this is.
I don't respect this president. Mm-hmm. I don't trust this president. Mm-hmm. He's not working in the best interest of the American people.
See, they're playing the hits,
his
kids.
His motives and his actions are contemptible. And I will fight every day until he is impeached.
Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it.
Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Impeach 45. Don't forget who he is. He's shown us what kind of human being he is, and he is not going.
Impeach 45. Oh, these people, they really make me so happy. They make me so, the joy, the sheer joy in their lunacy just gives me warm, fuzzy feelings, doesn't it? Oh, somebody's at my front door. All right, I forgot to turn my alerts off. That would have been helpful. Someone's at your front door. No, looks like somebody just, well, it doesn't matter. I'll go deal with it. We got to take a quick break anyway. And what we do, we'll come back. Paul Thacker is going to be here. Paul Thacker is a great guy. He's a vet. He is a brilliant writer. He's an investigative journalist, one of the last few investigative journalists out there. And he's a brilliant, brilliant guy. Let's talk about USAID. Let's talk about all of the things and how the Democrat Party has become the party of war. We are going to see a confirmation hearing. I mean, the full Senate vote on Tulsi Gabbard. We're going to see the full Senate vote on Bobby Kennedy. They are dragging their feet on Cash Patel, but ultimately, I do think Cash Patel is going to get through as well. I'm feeling good about all of this. I really am. But we'll go through it all with Paul Thacker and keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. And remember, when times get tough and you feel down, right? Am I right? Just saying. Never forget. We won't rest. Artificial Chuck Schumer, after devouring a raw cheeseburger, and then with his Corona and my guac, Corona guac frozen cheeseburger, Corona guac frozen cheeseburger. Be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me now, back on the show, it's great to have him back, Paul Thacker. He's an investigative journalist, former investigator for the United States Senate, and you can follow him on X, and I highly suggest you do, at Thacker PD. Also subscribe to the Disinformation Chronicle. It's an excellent, excellent read. PaulDThacker.com. What's up, my man?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me back on.
Really. Absolutely. And by the way, before the interview started, Paul recommended I start reading the book, The Godfather, which I'm absolutely going to do because, I mean, I'm upset. I love the movie. It's my favorite movie ever made, part one and part two. Depending on which one's on TV is when I decide which one's better. It's like if Godfather 2's on, then it's better than 1. If 1's on, then it's better than 2. That's usually my rule, you know?
It is such a well-written book. I mean, I was shocked. I thought it was going to be kind of like, oh, they did this. You start reading the book, and you're like, no wonder they turned this into a movie.
Man. All right. I'm going to do it. Puzo, man, he's the man. So, and by the way, he wrote the script for Superman the movie. I don't know if a lot of people know that. And that was a great movie. I rewatched that movie with my kids the other day.
Oh, yeah.
From 1978 or whatever it was. It still holds up really, really well all these years later.
Yeah, that was a great movie. I watched, you know, that was one, like, so I was 8 at that time, and I was just like, I don't know how many times, I say 8-9 times.
Yeah, so good. So good. All right, we got some breaking news today, of course. RFK Jr. approved by the Senate committee. Next step will be the full vote on the Senate. Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana was the key flip that helped RFK Jr. Advance to the next level. You tweeted out something which I think is absolutely spot on. Don't let Democrats fool you. Their vote against Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was to protect corporate wealth, not public health.
Yeah, I mean, it's become very, look, I've known Bobby now, like, you know, not super well, but like, you know, I've talked to him like several different times. And I, you know, I definitely, like, there's times like, oh, I don't know about this Bobby, like when he says things, but he is not the person that you see portrayed in the media. Like, he's a total kook. Like, that's just not true. He just has things that, like, it'd be like a person you'd be talking to, you know, buddy or whatever. And you're like, well, I don't know, Mike, you know, you'd have to, you know, I don't, well, what about this? You know, you go back and forth, but they portray him as if he's like a complete lunatic and makes no sense. And what he ended up going into in the hearings that I saw was oftentimes batting down, you know, just these fake stories that had been, you know, ginned up in the media about him. I mean, the night before the hearing, the one that mattered, which is Senate Finance, which is what had to vote him out of committee for him to go to the full floor. His cousin, I believe it is, Caroline Kinn, I believe his cousin, something like that, and his niece both released hit jobs on him. I mean, the Caroline Kennedy put out a video attacking him viciously, calling him like crazy or something like that. And then his niece, it's like the same way, like, you know, I don't want to have to do this, but, and she released private emails that he had sent to her during the pandemic explaining his, you know, his particular points of view, I believe on the COVID pandemic or something like that. And I was just like, what is going on? I mean, I honestly, like, there's just a part of me when I saw that happen, I thought, I mean, this is like just because this is how I think, and because, you know, I think these ways because I've uncovered this kind of stuff. First thing went through my mind is like, how much money did the Democratic Party pay these two women? That's what went through my head. And I, you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but like, I immediately like just started thinking that like that's a definite possibility.
The best was watching both Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders shill for Big Pharma. And my favorite moment was when he's like, Bernie, you've taken all this money from Big Pharma. He's like, no. Just the employees of Big Pharma giving me the money. You know, it's not the same thing.
I know. And the other thing too, that like, I mean, this gets in the other thing that's weird also is, you know, it was not always like this. You know, when you see Elizabeth, I mean, when Elizabeth Warren, there was that little video with Elizabeth. I mean, she looks crazy. I mean, she legitimately looked crazy during, you know, I mean, I like Bernie. Like Bernie, I think he got a little crazy there, but like, I like Bernie, you know, I do. I like the guy. I think he's like, I think if he and Trump had gone head to head in 2016, it would have been a very interesting race. And I think the Democratic Party would be in a totally different place than where they are right now.
100%.
Like, they're just, you know, but you know,
they crushed their own movement. I mean, they did everything to stop that guy, and he was riding the wave of populism in a different in a different form, of course, a socialist form. But and they did everything to stop him in 16 and in 20.
Oh, I have friends who voted for Trump, who wanted Bernie to win in 2016. I have friends like that. You know, so I thought, what was it like, Warren, after there was a brief clip that ended up on Twitter after the hearing, Warren was out in the hall outside the committee room. And she's like, he's going to sue the companies and take away our vaccines. It sounded so crazy. It's like, I mean, I was like, you're literally trying to defend Big Pharma. It is so weird because this is not the Democratic Party that I knew when I moved to D.C. in 2004. The Democratic Party that I knew was like very skeptical of the pharmaceutical industry, constantly complaining about pricing, about the crappy products they put on the market, about the way they hide data, they hide adverse events. And now they've become like the party of the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, they love pharma. As soon as you call it a vaccine, these people lose their minds and they cannot even fathom the possibility that a vaccine might cause harm. Like, even though it's been vaccines that have been removed from the market, you know, because they were actually harmful.
Right.
You know, there's a history of this. So it's just, I don't know. It's just, It's funny. I mean, it's like, it's just like, this is the, you know, this is the, you know, the current politics we have today. It's like watching a bunch of liberals like protesting out USAID, like, and wanting to keep it open. It's like, but this is like a CIA front that like, that does regime change. All these things you guys like have been hating forever, that like when I was growing up, but I didn't like, I thought leftists were kind of crazy, you know, and about some of the things they would say about like American interventions around the world, like USAID helped to do this stuff. And now right. You're defending them. It's like,
but the, you know, that's the greatest. It's the greatest part of this story is that I don't think people realized what a front this was for the CIA until all this blew up over the last, you know, 72 hours. And this whole idea of, you know, spreading goodwill by giving a dictator, you know, $100 million to fight what dengue fever in his country, you know, and he's pocketing 95 million of that.
Right.
Because we want to keep him in power. It's like nobody ever connected the dots here. And the biggest thing that should have been on everyone's red flag this weekend was when Elon Musk goes to USAID and they shut everything down and they say, but a lot of these files are classified and top secret. It's like, well, if you're right. This agency that's just giving out humanitarian aid, why is right. Any of this classified and top secret?
Right, exactly. Well, the other thing they were doing that, like, you know, that I pointed out, that I'd reported on, was the fact that they were, USAID was caught up in a huge corruption scandal because there were USAID employees, a guy named Dennis Carroll, and he was running a project called Predict. And Predict was working with EcoHealth Alliance, the group that was just defunded by HHS, the one that was going all over, that was working with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And Predict was giving out all this money for people to go around and collect viruses and study them. What they did is the Predict program came to an end is they misdirected congressionally authorized funds to create this new nonprofit called the Global Virome Project, which after they created it with taxpayer dollars, misdirecting those dollars that were supposed to go to the Predict program, Dennis Carroll then retired from USAID and started running the Global Virome Project. So he basically took taxpayer dollars to create a nonprofit that became his retirement job. I mean, it was like insane.
That is amazing.
Stuff going on.
It's totally amazing. And I talked to the guys yesterday from the White Coat Waste Project, and they're connecting the dots to Wuhan with USAID and the COVID, COVID-19 and all of the research that was done there in the lab and then the creation of this virus. It's a clear connection from USAID. Oh, yeah.
No, USAID was a lot of the money that EcoHealth Alliance got was USAID funding. A lot of that stuff was also, if I'm going to remember correctly, it was actually rifled through UC Davis. This is a woman who's escaped a lot of scrutiny. Her name's Jana Matzett. She was taking in just millions of dollars every year from USAID and then parceling that out to other research institutes to do all this virus research that, like, you know, we can't be told what it is and it's classified and everything. And that's what you made to wonder. It's like, wait, hold on a second here. What does digging ditches and, you know, bringing vaccines to like faraway places and water and helping to stop famines, how did that become like funding virus research?
Right.
Like, what is going on? Like, what is the mission of this organization now? You know,
well, it's funny because we have had this long-standing joke in my wife's family, my brother-in-law, who works for the World Bank. And we've had this long joke that he's actually in the CIA because one of the projects he worked on was family planning in Afghanistan. And by family planning, I mean abortion in Afghanistan. Right. It's like, stop right. it. Like, I mean, come up with a better cover story than that, because right. that's not huge on the priority list for the Taliban. All right. That's not a big thing that they're looking to do over there, is to provide more access to abortions. Like, knock it off already.
Right. Yeah. There's just, you know, I don't know. It's hard to tell, like, to what degree, you know, they were doing things that were, you know, good foreign policy stuff to help, and then plus this other CIA stuff, or whether the good stuff was just used to mask, you know, the secret CIA stuff. Like, I don't think we'll ever really know. You know, I think it depends upon your perspective of how you look at it. But I tweeted out, I thought it was hilarious that all these, you know, liberals are out there protesting. I was like, I mean, what's, if Trump tries to shut down Guantanamo tomorrow, like, is Jeremy Raskin and Adam Schiff going to like fly out to Cuba and chain themselves to like the gate of the camp and say, there was never torture here. Keep this camp open. That's how we're going to preserve liberties. I mean, anything that Trump wants to do, these people just immediately just run in the opposite direction. I mean, that seems to be the whole, their whole like way of doing domestic policy now.
You know, since you're a movie guy, did you ever see the movie The Report on Amazon that they made about the whole investigation into torture with the Senate subcommittee? Adam Driver's in it. Did you ever see that movie?
No. I didn't watch that.
So it's actually it's really, really good. But Ted Levine, who plays Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs, plays John Brennan in that movie. And of course, you know, John Brennan goes into the Secure SCIF, which is a bipartisan committee led by Democrat Dianne Feinstein, goes through all their files and completely breaks the law. Democrats used to hate this guy, and now he's on MSNBC like every single day, and he has been since 2016. And that's the upside down world we live in. Dick Cheney used to be a war criminal. Now he's like, it's like listening to my in-laws who are liberals go back to the days of the good old when the Republican Party stood for something in the Bush-Cheney era. I'm like, you mean when we just invaded countries that did nothing to us? You mean those good old days?
Right. Yeah. I know. To me, like the whole Bush thing, I can never get over like what he did. Because, I mean, if you go back and look at the founding of the country, you know, when people are wondering, like, you know, what's the job of the president? You know, what should the president be doing? You know, that was fought over for a long time. Like, can the government, you know, force taxes? Like, you know, early on, you know, when the government was founded, the one thing people all agreed upon is that the job of the president is to defend the country. And so what did Bush do? He took that duty and warped it to create reason for us to go and invade a country and spend, you know, untold billions of dollars, lose all this, you know, all these people, and we invaded a country and, you know, it's all for nothing, you know, and none of these people went to jail. I mean, it was crazy.
And Trump was against that. And I think, and I've said this to him because I've known him for a while. I mean, not like well, but, you know, I've had him on the show and stuff. I always think that that's really the true reason why they wanted to stop him in the first place was his opposition to the Iraq war and the fact that he didn't want any new war. And you see that now with Tulsi Gabbard. I mean, this whole thing with Snowden is such it's a joke. What a distraction that we're discussing Edward Snowden right now, the guy who let everybody know that our government was spying on us and that's the excuse that some people in the Republican Party were going to try to use to sink her nomination. It's like, give me a freaking break. You just don't want her there because you don't want her sitting in the Situation Room and saying to President Trump, we don't need to escalate this. Or, hey, Mr. President, do you know the extent of the spying on American citizens? It's laughable to think that she may not get in because of Edward freaking Snowden.
I mean, that is the other weird thing, too, right? This whole thing, like the upside downness of, you know, everything that's going on. You know, growing up in the 80s, I mean, you know, when you're a kid growing up in the 80s, you definitely knew who was the party of war.
Right.
It was not the Democrats. I mean, that was what Republicans love to do. I mean, they're like, let's remember bomb Iran?
Yeah, John McCain.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it's like,
and he's one of the ones that go back and they go, oh, why can't we be more like John McCain? The guy made a freaking parody song about bombing Iran and starting World War III. But it's like, that's what the Republican Party needs to be again one day. I mean, it's so upside down.
I don't know. I can't get like exactly I get a sense there's a lot of money behind some of this stuff, but I don't know. And I look at other people tweeting about it, like Glenn Greenwald, and I've talked to Matt Taibbi about this, and, you know, and I don't think anyone really understands exactly why it's like this, but we just know that it's changed dramatically. And the problem is that you've got a lot of young journalists. Like, I talk to journalists in their 20s, and they don't even realize, like, how different things are today. Like, you know, that, like, things that trigger me that, like, make me want to start laughing, you know, and, you know, like, why are Democrats so eager to go to war all the time? It's crazy, you know? And why, when we like don't want to go to war, is it like, well, you're working for Russia? It's like, no, I just don't want to spend money on war. Like, what, can't we do something besides war? So things are just very odd, you know. Things are very odd.
Do you remember when the Democrats put out that letter to Biden after Russia invaded Ukraine and asked Biden to try to do some sort of a peace deal, a ceasefire, and then Bernie was on one of the signatories of that letter, and that letter disappeared like 2 weeks later, and it was gone. And I think as everybody was hanging their Ukraine flags back then, and I just watched as it became the new virtue signaling thing, and it shows you the power of these complexes. And this is a conversation I actually had with Tulsi Gabbard over the summer, you know, whether it's big food or it's big pharma or it's the military industrial complex. I mean, these complexes with all their lobbyists and all their lawyers on Capitol Hill, Paul Thacker, it's just the amount of money that's behind all this and the amount of people just getting so filthy rich off of all this. And like sheep, so many people just turn around and go, okay, I'm supposed to be for Ukraine. I'm for Ukraine. Then send all the money they need. It doesn't matter whether it works or not. It doesn't matter whether it gets to them or not. It doesn't matter whether they launder it or not. Oh, you know, I got to be for science. So, you know, take the COVID shot. And if you don't want to take it, lose your job, lose your home, be an outcast from society. It's just amazing how quickly people would succumb to those things. I do think it's changing. I think Trump's election was a sign that it's changing.
I think things are changing. Remember the other one, too. This is the one that cracked me up because I bought into it for about like 3 or 4 days. Remember when the Gulf Nord Stream, the pipeline connecting Russia to Germany, mm-hmm. that gave Germany all its, you know, all its gas power and was basically a way that like helped to fund, you know, the Russian economy. And then when the war started, like Russia bombed it, like Russia, we like there's news reported that Russia bombed its own pipeline,
right,
to like Germany. and we believe that. And like people said that, like, you know, and you're just like, wait, hold on a second here. Like, wait, what? Like, no, we bombed it we paid someone to bomb it, you know, like, and it, like Seymour Hersh came out like about like 10 days later saying, no, actually Americans did it. And the latest thing that I saw was there's something like Ukrainians may have done it or I don't know. But we actually believe that for a moment. Like that was actually in the New York Times saying that Putin bombed his own pipeline. I mean, it's like, that's the kind of craziness that, you know, I just don't think it's working. I think you're right. I don't think it's working as much anymore because people are just laughing about it now online. And you can see that, you know, you can see that when they say this stuff, immediately there's pushback, you know, on social media, and they're losing readers. They're shedding readers left and right.
And Seymour Hersh is a great example, right? So he writes this amazing expose on this, exposing how we played a role in blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, and they immediately just attack him as if he's some far right kook. Seymour Hersh?
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, this is the upside down world, you know. And so all these people that used to be icons of the left, Glenn Greenwald's another great example of this, right? They're now propagandists for the right, and that's what they say about anybody who challenges the conventional norms. I mean, they'll say this stuff about Bill Maher. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they'll say. I mean, this is one of the things that, like, it was like 2 years in the pandemic, and I was talking to like another doctor, and I realized this was like the third or fourth doctor I talked to was like, yeah. And then I said this, and people said that, like, you know, I was like saying what Trump says. It's like, I'm a Democrat. I've never voted for Republicans in my life. You know, but like that was the whole thing that was going on. Like if you said certain things about the vaccines or the lockdowns or like how masks really don't stop viruses, you know, you were like, that's Trump. Well, that's a Republican. It's like, no, like that's what I was taught in medical school. Like that's what we all learned, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's been this whole, it's just been a campaign to just label people. And yeah, I think part of it is that, you know, the newspapers and the mainstream media outlets, they're doing their best to try to cling to survival. And, you know, they've backed themselves into these corners on, you know, nonsense. You know, I mean, here's an example of like RFK Jr. You know, one of the most well-known kind of liberal, you know, iconic, you know, Nader Raider groups that works on, you know, on pharmaceuticals and food is Public Citizen. Right. I mean, this is like this. They were founded like there was like one of the Nader groups, you know, back in the early 70s. They came out with a statement in November saying that not only should Robert F. K. Jr. not become HHS secretary, he shouldn't be allowed to enter the building, you know. And I saw this and I'm like, what are you guys going to do? Like, what is going to be your plan? Because this guy is going to become secretary. And then what are you going to do now? Like, are you really going to go try to lobby him? Because he's going to, like, try to, like, make sure that there's data transparency. Like, a lot of things that you've been pushing for decades and never got. Even with Democratic administrations. So this guy's going to start doing this. What are you going to do? Like, you know, we can't talk to him. I mean, do you think he'll take a meeting with you? Like, after you've said this publicly? I mean, there's a lot of people who've just said a oh, heck, a lot of stupid things, you know, that they're hoping people just forget.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And guys like you don't let them, which I think is really clear. And so originally I was going to talk to you about the Hunter Biden laptop letter to go back to John Brennan, because you showed this email that he wrote October of 2020 from John Brennan, letter to sign. And this was to Mike Morrell. OK, Michael, add my name to the list. Good initiative. Thanks for asking me to sign on. And, you know, and you read the email from Mike Morrell at the time. And it says, you know, adding Leon, I'm guessing Panetta, Sue Gordon, Jay Johnson, George, Lisa Monaco, Mike Rogers today. And we'll be working on Dan Coats, Mike Rogers, and Tom Bossert. As you put it, you know, it looks like the Hunter Biden laptop letter signed by the intelligence officials was done as a talking point to push back on Trump and absolutely 100% influence an election. No question about it.
Oh, no. He says that directly in the email. He says, we're hoping to have this as a talking point for the debate. So, you know, he says that directly in the email, you know, and just so people know, like John Brennan was former CIA director. I think he stepped down in 2017, since 2020. And Morrell, I believe, would have been his deputy. He became the acting CIA director. And so what's interesting about this is, you know, when this letter came out, all the media, you know, took it like it was seriously like, whoa, this Hunter Biden laptop thing, it's a Russian disinformation. And, you know, we all know what happened, you know, Facebook, you know. You know, took the New York Post, you know, article down. I think it was like banned for a while on Twitter, you know, and then, you know, this is right before the election and like, oh, none of this is true. And then we find out like a year later, the Post comes out and says, well, we have the Washington Post, we have confirmed, like, you didn't confirm anything. You're re-reporting what the New York Post reported right before the election, you know? So there was this whole game, and what Trump just did right now when he came in, one of his first actions was he ripped away the security clearance of all 51 of those former intelligence officials, which some of that doesn't matter. They're retired. But the other thing he did, which I don't think most people picked up on this, is he banned them from coming into any government building. Now, what that did was, okay, and this is how DC works. The reason why he did that is because that doesn't allow them to continue their lucrative lobbying gigs.
Right, right.
You know? Because that's what they all do. Like they, you know, they're like former CIA, former this, whatever. Then they get on the boards of these corporations, work for intel firms, work for, you know, defense firms, and they're glad handing, you know, back in the Pentagon, glad handing back over at CIA. You know, they've got security clearances so they can, like, you know, see classified material, you know, and now they can't do that. So he basically took away their lucrative lobbying gigs. And deservedly so, because, I mean, to me, I looked at this stuff and I was like, I mean, when you have like intel officials plotting during the election, right, to take one guy out and put another guy in, I mean, that happens in third world countries like all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in like Western democracies, you know, not normally, you know, maybe back during World War II, you know, but like not in modern times do we see this kind of stuff happening.
No. And to bring it full circle, just a short time ago today, John Brennan, who we just talked about, just said to Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC, Tulsi Gabbard overseeing the intelligence that gets to Trump presents significant risks. So, I mean, it's exactly what you and I have been saying this entire time, right? I mean, here's a guy who utilized the power of the deep state to try to really did overthrow a presidency, because, you know, had the American people known the truth about that Hunter Biden laptop letter, then the entire facade they were creating of Joe Biden being this kind old man hiding in the basement, keeping you safe from mean tweets and COVID evaporates. And who knows the outcome of that, what that election would have been. So the guy who was the architect of torture, who played such a role in spying on American citizens, who helped facilitate a coup against the sitting president of the United States and really throw an election for Joe Biden. Now he's out there saying, you can't let Tulsi Gabbard near the president of the United States. What is he so afraid of, Paul Thacker?
Well, there's one other thing on all this that I forgot to mention, which came out in one of the committee reports. We also found out, you know, all the 51 people who signed on to it. One, I think it was Morrell, the former acting, said that the whole thing had actually been started by Anthony Blinken, who. Mm-hmm. Who is Anthony Blinken? Well, I mean, he helped orchestrate. He's a former, you know, intel official. He helped to orchestrate this letter, and then he became Secretary of State. You know, so he helped to orchestrate a letter that helped to get him a job as Secretary of State. You know, I think, you know, some of this, what they're scared of, they're scared of change. They're scared of, you know, losing power. You know, a buddy of mine that I worked with on the Hill just really told me this in a kind of a fun way, you know, because something I hadn't thought about. Like, what Trump is doing, he's not so much attacking Democrats. He's attacking this entire DC system that says, whether I'm a Democrat or Republican, hey, you know, I went to law school. You know, I went to Georgetown Foreign Service School. I went to SICE at Johns Hopkins. Like, I'm now credentialed to be, you know, a DC professional. And God damn it, you know, when my guy loses and I get to go over to the Hudson Institute, you know, on the right, or I get to go over to the Center for American Progress on the left, and I sit around and I wait out, and then I come back in at a, you know, at a higher pay grade. Maybe I was like deputy this, and now I'm like, you know, the full acting, whatever, you know? And so what Trump is doing is he's disrupting all that. Yeah. You know, and people don't like it, you know, because it's not just the people on the left who are pissed off at him. There's people on the right, too.
Oh, 100%.
You know, because they love this whole, you know, everyone kind of understands, you know, their role. And OK, we're losing now, but we're going to plot and come back. And then I'm going to get your job, you know, and, it, you know, and like he's just saying, like, actually, no, we're not going to do that. You know what we're going to do? We're going to blow up USAID. We're going to come inside. And we had a bunch of prosecutors and FBI agents who seem to have engaged in unethical activity. We're going to fire all of them. That doesn't happen normally.
No, and to your point about Republicans, I mean, Roger Wicker, who's a Republican senator, is arguing today that USAID is essential to combat China globally. You know what I mean? And I think there were a lot of Republicans who would have absolutely voted against RFK. They would vote against Tulsi, and they would have voted against Cash Patel. They would vote against it. But there's such a pressure being put on them by Trump supporters that they politically can't do it right now. They want to, but they know it would be political suicide for them. But they don't want to do it. They're holding their nose and begrudgingly doing this only because they're trying to save their own seats.
I think USAID is in just a very tenuous position for two reasons. You know, I mean, first off, the Republicans are definitely, I'd say this, younger Republicans, right? So not like people like Wicker, not people like what's his face, the turtle,
McConnell.
McConnell, you know,
I mean, what's his like face, the old, turtle?
These old school Republicans who are basically like all about, like, you know, Reagan, like, you know, let's spend more money on defense kind of stuff, you know. But like the younger crowd, like the J.D. Vances, which are much more like, why are we spending money on this? You know, who are much more less concerned about like that we have, you know, the ability to blow up all their stuff, plus blow up their stuff like five times, you know, and win with all our, you know, because we spend 10 times more than like, you know, any other country on the planet on defense. You know, they're more concerned about budgetary issues and like why we have, you know, roads that fall apart and everything. And so that whole issue, like, really kind of, you know, why are we spending money on USAID when a lot of stuff seems to be CIA stuff? And then you've got people on the left who've never really liked, well, traditionally they didn't, you know, and who knows, like, how many of them still feel this way. And what we're seeing is this, like, select subset of liberals, like, in the D.C. area, you know. But, you know, people on the left don't necessarily like this stuff either. Like, you know, this foreign intervention stuff, we go in and, like, take out elected people because we don't like them, you know, and put in people that we like, you know. So I don't see how USAID really comes out of this. I really don't, because there's... ideologically, they don't have friends on the left. They don't have friends on the right.
Well, I tell you, it's fascinating stuff, Paul. This has been great, man. We got to do this again. And I love the long form, you know, style of this. So thank you for your time. And let's chat again next week if we can and catch up on everything that's going on, if that's cool with you.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I love having you on, man. Follow Paul at Paul. Sorry, what is it again? I don't have in front of me.
It's Thacker PD, Thacker PD. That's on Twitter. And you can find me on the Disinformation Chronicle on Substack.
That's great stuff, man. Definitely subscribe to his Disinformation Chronicle. It is must reading. Keep up the great work. I'll talk to you next week, Paul. Thanks, buddy.
See you later.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.